Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into the best fatherhood radio show in the world. Furthering Fathering Radio Show. It's the Furthering Fathering Radio Show. The brothers are back in the building. Brother J in NYC and Brother L in the ATL. The Furthering Fathering Radio Show starts in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You ready?
Let's get the conversation started.
I emphasize that if anyone is listening to this as a replay or listening to it live, connect with Furthering Fathering. You will be encouraged. You will be edified. The 20, 30 minutes that we're on the radio chopping it up is nothing compared to the energy and the strength you will receive from men who love you just because you're a man. And then as they get to know you, they speak life to you, they challenge you, they affirm you, and they enable you to be powerful where you're needed, which is with your family. Brother Derek, you're saying hello.
It's not only good for the child, but I think it's a mandate from God. I think the heart of the father belongs to men, and God has called us to be that for as many children as we can. So I'd only echo everything you said. I'm fully on board with that, and I think the call is for more men to embrace that truth so that we can begin to rebuild our community, our nation, one family at a time.
Welcome. Once again, back again, in the building. The brothers are in the building. The Furthering Fathering Radio Show is back in effect. Welcome. I am Pastor Jeremy, my best friend L down in the ATL. But he may not even know I'm doing this because this was like impromptu, off the top, late last night. Decided to create a show because we hadn't been on since January. The last show was headed up by my dear brother Derek Abbott, and maybe he'll hop on a little later, but in the meantime, in between time, we love you, you know. We do have someone on the line, and we will right after the quick prayer and scripture, we'll hop right into it today. We are talking about joyful maturity, how dads can deal with disappointment. And this is all too familiar topic, but it needs to be meted out because as fathers, sometimes we hold things in and wait too long to let people know that things are not right and everyone suffers in the end because dad is not around or dad is in the hospital or dad is on the mend. And perfect in saying this because I'm one of those guys. So without further ado, you know we always, always, always give honor to our Heavenly Father because that is the foundation of everything. And to give him honor, we're going to go to Peter, 1 Peter 5, verses 10 and 11. And so we have a little understanding of that he's there with us even when we suffer. And it says, verse 10, I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be, hallelujah, to him be dominion, power, authority, sovereignty forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for indeed you are the one with all dominion, power, authority, and sovereignty. You are the Aleph Bet Aleph, our Abba, our Father, and you never leave us nor forsake us. You're omnipresent. You're always present. You say in Acts 17 that you're just within reach, but we just need to reach out to you in faith. So we do in faith. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, reach out to you. recognizing you are good because we want to please you, because it's impossible to please you without faith. We trust you, Lord, reasonably trust you, because you said for us to put away our sins and then come, let us reason together in Isaiah 1. So we thank you for this time together. We're ecstatic to be back again. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, 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 yes. I'm going to open up right away. My brother, how you doing?
Bishop, live well, live long, and prosper.
Derek, love you, man. Love you, man.
Love you to life, Bishop.
Love you to life. Love you to life. You know, the byline today, you know, is basic. It says, when we decide to get married and have children, there are hopes, there are and dreams that form a possible picture of the future, an awesome future that we desire and work toward as fathers. Sometimes, while working toward those legacy-minded dreams, there are shattering disappointments. Some will come by circumstance, and others will come by decisions and actions that those around us make, our children and those we love make. How do we as dads deal with disappointments where our those close to us are concerned? Join us, and we want to deal with the mechanisms that we use when we're disappointed. There are a lot of avenues for disappointment, and if disappointment is defined as sadness or displeasure caused by non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. And a couple of quotes is, life is not always a celebration, so be ready to courageously face disappointments when they come, and be sure to grow stronger and wiser from them. That's from Edmund Biaka. And one more is, disappointments are just God's way of saying, I've got something better. Be patient, live life, have faith. Yes, sir. So, without further ado, how you doing, Bishop?
I'm doing every day above ground, sir. It's a good day, despite
Hallelujah.
Any circumstances that creep up in it. So
yep.
I'm doing well.
Yes, yes. You know, it's good to hear all things are working together for good. And it's important. It's important as dad, you know, as dads, you know, sometimes because we're men and we communicate way different than we communicate different than our wives, we communicate different than our children. You know, we hold things back. We tell little, you know, if we're asked how we're doing, we could be feeling horrible, but to maintain the you know, a modicum of peace and joy, you say, I'm fine. Or I say what is true to me, I am excited to be alive. So that is my focus, so that I'm not giving out a report that ratifies a feeling that is temporary. I want to give a report that establishes and forwards the agenda of eternal life, so and goodness and hope. So that's how I choose to communicate. But not everybody can do that. You know, not everybody has the, you know, a byline or someone to eat. So that comes from people talking to me and encouraging me. That comes from God talking to me and encouraging me. So how do you deal with disappointment?
Well, unfortunately, you get practice. So the first
Amen.
Thing is, you know, is gracefully to try to just, I don't want to say absorb, but take hold of what's really happening, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're talking about when people ask you how you're feeling, you give a good report instead of saying, you know, well, my back aches, or, you know, I had a little difficulty with this, that, and the third, because so much of the security of our families is
mm-hmm.
connected to our well-being. But
yeah.
I understand, and I celebrate the strength in persevering. However, in some ways, I do think sometimes we set a false expectation, because
yes.
if we don't let our loved ones know that we struggle and overcome, they
mm-hmm.
may feel inept when they face their own challenges.
Amen.
If you hear my heart
Amen.
On that one.
So with regard to disappointment, we get practice because, you know, we want our children to live sin-free lives. It's not that we don't want them to need the blood, but we want them to need less than we did. And when they inevitably make a decision, whether it's just under the influence of friends or they just make their own bad decision, we have an opportunity to understand the forgiveness that we first received and the redemptive power that God shares with us regularly, because the mistake is not the ending. It's an opportunity. It's a comma. It's an ellipsis.
Yes.
I made a mistake, dot, dot, dot. But, and here's how we come back. So with regards to the disappointment, we must be lovingly honest with our children and communicate with them where they are, what our disappointments are, you know, how we've been disappointed, and give them an opportunity to experience the disappointment of a parent and experience conviction but not condemnation, and give them a loving space to show contrition, because these are all processes in development. If I didn't fall and didn't repent, I wouldn't know the magnitude and the beauty of my salvation from a forgiveness and an experiential standpoint. So if I didn't, if I had not been so flawed, I wouldn't know how to love and forgive to the degrees that I now am learning to, and I wouldn't be able to extend grace to my children and look at solutions. Okay, we're in this place. I will say this because I'm getting a little off track. I'm dealing with a little situation where I'm needing grace now. And what I say to my lovely one with regard to our bird is that we can't work harder than our children work at this thing. So, you know, we'll make every effort to make lives simple and great and peaceful and easy. But if they get their jeans dirty, we got to teach them how to wash their own jeans.
Amen.
And we've got to allow them to experience the weight of it on the way to recovery, and that will build the character that will honor God and also limit, I hope, will limit some of the constant repeating of sin and repeating of errors. You know what I mean? We can't work harder at it than there. Yes, sir.
There's a fine line there where we don't want to yes, men, we don't want to falsely make it seem like error is okay. At the same time, we don't want to condemn. So it's a delicate balance. Rod jotted a few things down, and this is for dad. This was just was on my heart. I jotted this down really fast, so I'm just going to rub around it and say real quick. But disappointments drive me to go harder after what is good, right, and righteous. Disappointments cause me to assess my expectations. Disappointments cause me to shrink back and reflect, reminisce, and remember. Disappointments to cause me to isolate. Now I assess and seek counsel. Disappointments cause me to change direction or approach. Disappointments hurt. Disappointments can lead to anger and rage. Disappointments can be forgiven. Disappointments come from accidental failure, but the intentional attacks, distractions, disobedience, ungodliness, lies, deception, dishonor, disrespect can be mind-blowing. Disappointments that could be have been avoided where safeguards were not in place, or where instructions and consequences were not made clear. View disappointments as lessons. We learn about the boundaries of trust, human nature, our capacity to recover, wisdom, think of preventative measures, safety, and security. The victory in disappointments is the power of the will to persevere, and the power of love to redeem, and the power of hope to know disappointments are temporary. The best is yet to come. So
Amen.
Amen. So just pull from whatever the Spirit is saying, and just pull from because we don't want to have people stay in the state that they're in, that they're, that, you know, there's a encouragement that is a catalyst for the change necessary to recover, to shift from despair to joy. And it doesn't have to take long, because we don't want to wallow in despair, because that becomes depression, that becomes anxiety, that becomes unwanted fear. So when you think as a dad, as a husband, as a dad, as a man, as a black man, as a descendant of Judah, as a called man, instead of a made man, a called man. how should we, the average Joe, the regular dude, the which we are, we just happen to have some grace, handle or deal with or come out of disappointment?
Well, first of all, those points were all, those are all messages you could expound on in great detail with each one. So don't lose those points. But with regard to, you know, men, so the disappointment is not the destination. So I think if we're able to rehearse, you know, an acknowledgement, but not a saying, it's a comma, it's an ellipsis, it's not a period. So what one thing is very, very important, I'm learning it more and more, our self-talk and how we, you know, assess the weight of a flaw or a mistake. They're not that deep. I mean, honestly, everything up to the unpardonable is pardonable. So, you know, there are laws for the degrees of the mistakes. And if you take a life, obviously, you know, you're going to jail. But if we just talk about a breach in personal conduct, I said the wrong thing, I did the wrong thing, I hurt someone's feelings, or whatever it happens to be, though, we can't stay in those things. And if we continue with negative self-talk, we align ourselves with staying off course. I think we do a disservice sometimes by not properly addressing the importance of mental health and support. We speak in the spirit realm to a good many things, but on earth there are pressures. And if there's no outlet for the pressure, it could lead to a series of negative thoughts, which could lead to chronic habits and chronic behaviors, and pick a sin, pick a vice. That's where some of them come from, because there's no healthy outlet. So the first and foremost thing is, I would hope that with a platform like Furthering Fathering, enough of the men know they have a safe place to go with their humanity. We have to create a safe place to go with their with our humanity. Now, everybody can't take the weight of everybody's sin, and I mean that sincerely. You know, there are some dudes that were out there moving weight, and they were on the block, and they were doing some things. Hey, they might come and start to tell a story, and my hair might twist. But another person of a similar place who's been elevated past that could have the grace to handle that situation. And again, a network like Furthering Fathering is a beautiful resource in that we have men across the entire diaspora of the experience, you know? And we don't look like what we've been through because of the grace, but we want men who are challenging, who are challenging the negative words that they were told as kids, or the experiences that they've run across in their circumstances, to know you have a place to go, that your mistake is a comma, not a period. And again, the self-talk, having an outlet, knowing that there's a safe place. Sometimes, Bishop, without even exaggerating, there are times I tell myself it's going to be better because I know who I have access to. And I'm not talking about the Lord by faith. I'm talking about someone like you. I know I have access to you, and that encourages me to know, ooh, this is a moment. This isn't really a moment where I need to pull on the bishop because he's doing other things, but I can already hear and receive your encouragement because I know I have access. And when a man does not feel alone and isolated, that's a stronger man. That's a man that's willing to accept counsel and make better decisions. And that's a man who can stand for his families in a more secure way. You know, not a facade, a real. So when a family lives through a man's mistakes and he's overcome them, that family is multiple times stronger than if that man never had an outlet to heal and to process and to be made better.
Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to listen back to that because there was a lot of meat in that. Matter of fact, when we come back next week, we're going to delve a little bit more into that because I'm going to listen back and pull some necessary ingredients from that. And I'm going to open it up. We have two brothers, 5574 and 0125. Love you, my brothers. Who's on the line? Who's on the line?
Hey, Jeremy, how you doing? This is Mike. Welcome.
Hey.
Hello to you and your guest. How you doing there, Pastor?
Love you, love you, love you.
Yes, sir.
This is my brother-in-law, the esteemed Dr. Deek.
No title needed.
I know. Love you, Mike. Love you, Mike. And I didn't hear who the other person was. There was the
brother. This is Brother Marcus. Praise the Lord.
Oh, Brother Marcus. Marcus, love you, man. Love you, man.
Yes, sir.
We have like 10 minutes left. Can you two brothers take turns and just discuss briefly overcoming disappointments after what you've heard said so far? Just I'll give you the floor first if you might.
Well, overcoming disappointments. That's an interesting topic.
I was going to expound on it. Say, you know, because as men, sometimes we keep things to ourselves, and it's to our detriment. And sometimes it becomes explosive when it comes out as exposed, as opposed to having that relief valve. And sometimes we, instead of holding on to it, it needs to be addressed because it becomes worse if the disappointment is not addressed. Okay.
I guess, you know, one of the scriptures that I hold on to very dearly in my heart is the anxious nothing with prayer and supplication.
You're breaking up, but I know exactly what that is. That is that's Philippians 4, right?
Yes. So, you know, that's a scripture that lately I've been really in tune with, and that's helped me, you know, personally, a lot of situations. We talk about this work.
You're breaking up a little bit, Mike. But I heard you say you come to that in a lot of situations, and it's always good to have a scripture that's something that is good and righteous that is in your heart that you can lean on. You know, a standard, something that when everything else is shaking and moving, that you can hold on to that and find some stability. That's powerful. And best ability to have is internal. What about you, Marcus?
So I think about in the garden where the serpent tempted Eve, and he didn't go to the man. Because he felt like he could tempt Eve easier. And in this world, it's the same thing. They want to silence us, and so we can't lead our women and children the right way. And so there's this thing where, like, men shouldn't express themselves. And when we try to say something, it's like we're being, it's like, I don't know what it is, but the point is that we have to address things, even though the world try to make it like we're being, like we're being the bad guys, but we're the front line of the family. So we're supposed to raise the standard and remind people of the standard that we're supposed to be living by, namely by the standard of Jesus Christ. And we gotta address things, and we can't hold things in. And because holding things in, then it comes out the wrong way, like you said. So I try my best to address things and speak to things, even though speaking out, that gets you in trouble or, you know, opposed. But we have to do it. And the disappointment, a lot of times we have to just focus on what God wants us to do and try not to take things personal, because a lot of stuff is, some stuff is spiritual warfare, some stuff is just, it just is what it is. And we got to do what we got to do anyway. If we don't do what we're going to do, then if the good stand by and do nothing, then evil takes over, something like that.
Yeah.
So, so we gotta speak up. And a lot of times the disappointments and the things that happen, we hold it in because we want to seem like we being a macho and all that stuff. But, you know, that's just the wrong thinking. That's a lot of stuff that the media or just general consensus puts out there. And we can't feed into that. We got to do what we got to do.
There's a lot of meat in what you just said. It comes from the what's called conditioning. And that's
right.
Why what it's done to condition the hearts and minds so that a word like toxic masculinity could even exist. You know? Yeah, so we're going to deal with that. That we're going to deal with that along with dealing with disappointments coming up next week. But I'm glad that we're back. I love you guys. I really, really love you guys. You guys
are
similar to what...
love you, Bishop.
Love you, too. Love you, too, Bishop. You know, there's... What Derek said earlier is the core of why we exist, that there is ready and available. You know, the proverb says, through a multitude of counsel are purposes established, with wise counsel make war. So it's not just getting it from a single source, even though God loves to be our primary source. But there's a reason why the law is to love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is like unto the first, to love your neighbor as yourself, because it creates the avenue where you can come to someone as yourself and be received. But you have to be wise in who you allow in and who you approach. So I don't know if you just heard the announcement. We have a minute and a half left. Any parting thoughts, brief parting thoughts? Does anybody have anything? If not, I'm going to ask Marcus, can you pray us out?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We ask you to forgive us of all our sin and help us forgive those that have done wrong towards us. We ask you to anoint all of our families. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, help us to overcome as you did. You said through all the trials and tribulations, you have overcome the world. We know we could do all things through you, so continue to strengthen us and help us, give us the strength to follow you throughout all the disappointments. Help us to not take things personal and just stay focused on your will for our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. If you guys get a chance, on Thursday, I'll give you the information. Deacon Ephraim and his incredible wife, Minister Ephraim, they have a Bible study called the Genesis 1 Bible Study. We'd love for you guys to come on. Also, check us out at the Haven Church on on Sundays. Our EAT service is at 12 p.m. We love you. We look forward to doing more with you. The Further and Fathering is back in the building. We are Further and Fathering, where fatherhood is elevated, families are empowered, and communities transformed by five core principles: honor, encouragement, accountability, reconciliation, and training. Until next week, we love you. Bye-bye.
Blessings.